What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back. This is The Deep Corner, presented by the Volleyball League of America, episode 48. I'm Rob St. Clair, and I'm by myself because this time tomorrow, I will be in sunny, probably very hot, Orlando, Florida for the 2021 VLA Championships. Yes, the season is already pretty much coming to an end, and we have a big championship tournament coming up this week in Orlando, in conjunction with the AAU Junior National Championships. So really excited about that. A ton of detail to get into about that. First of all, you may have already heard about this if you've been tuning into Around the VLA the last couple weeks. Me and my co-host Vince Zanzuki, who has been on this show several times, talked about this Orlando event coming up, the VLA Championships, and a little bit about how it works and the season standings coming in. And so we'll get to all that here as well, but I wanted to encourage people to check out Around the VLA if you haven't already. That last episode with Chicago Iceman outside hitter Will Kraft was a really good one. Checking out some highlights, talking about the Nebraska event from a couple weekends ago. But this is it this week. This is it for the season. It's been a wacky year for the VLA. It's been a year where we've just tried to produce as many events as possible, produce as many live matches on the internet as possible, and it has culminated with this, an event that we are really, really excited about in Orlando. And there are already a ton of people in Orlando for this event. We will be there, the VLA will be there playing on Tuesday, that's tomorrow as you guys are listening to this, Tuesday, June 22nd through Thursday, June 24th. And the reason why we're there then is because that's when AAU's boys divisions are at their national championship tournament. So this is getting back to a familiar and really fun atmosphere for us, where the VLA is going to be in the middle of hundreds and hundreds of courts of junior volleyball, which is amazing. So the girls' divisions for AAU spread across several weeks, but the boys are all there this coming week, Tuesday through Thursday. So that's when the VLA is going to be playing, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, live in Orlando at the AAU Championships. So if you happen to be there in Orlando and you want to come watch us, if you're already there, if you're already in the building, great. I think we will be on either Court 20 or Court 21 in the North Concourse of the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando. So that's like one of the two featured courts right around like Tournament Central, like the main tournament desk and a handful of the sponsor vendor booths and all that stuff. So if really you won't be able to miss us, you'll find us pretty easily if you happen to be in the building this weekend. If you want to come check us out but you aren't already attending the event for some other reason, I want to make sure to let everybody know that first of all, there are no limits on spectators this year, which is fantastic news. We're excited to get back to a full capacity, like gigantic juniors, like classic convention center style event. But if you want to come in as a spectator, you have to get your tickets beforehand. So make sure you go to the AAU's website, AAUvolleyball.org, and buy your tickets as a spectator online beforehand. They won't be selling any at the door. So if you want to come check out the VLA or any of the other action in person, make sure you do that. But for those of you watching remotely, it'll be a similar stream to what you're used to. More like what we were doing towards the end of the VLA Cup back in May in terms of level of production. I'll be there. I was not in Nebraska. I will be there for this one. So I'll be on the mic for all the matches. And the format is very, very simple. A straight double elimination tournament. So two losses and you're out. And the teams participating are only the five tier one VLA teams. And I guess we might as well go over the seeding order in order from top to bottom. The Chicago Icemen, New York's Legion, Team LBC, the Phoenix Ascension, Indiana's Team Pineapple, and the SoCal Rising Tide. So we'll get into why they're seeded the way they are in just a second. But the five Tier 1 teams that currently make up the VLA are the only teams going to be there competing for this season-long championship. And so as the league continues to expand, and we talked about this on Around the VLA a lot, but basically, if you're wondering where the Tier 2 teams are, they're not playing in this one. The VLA Cup was for them. The VLA Championships is for Tier 1 teams only. And we're excited to get to, I guess, the offseason for us to talk about expanding VLA Tier 1. But those five teams, like I mentioned, Icemen, LVC, Ascension, Pineapple, and Rising Tide, what I like to call the founding five teams of the VLA. Like, you know, the NHL hockey has the original six. The VLA has the founding five, kind of the charter members of the organization. So those five teams are going to be the ones competing. for the VLA championship, the season long championship this year. Like I said, we've pulled off as many events as we can in this crazy pandemic year. The regular season standings aren't as organized as they will be in years going forward, because teams have all played a different number of matches. For example, the Rising Tide, you might be wondering why they're seeded fifth after finishing in the finals at VLA Cup, is because the VLA Cup was the only event that they played. So they finished having played only 5 matches, going 3-2 and earning 9 ranking points. So not a bad performance by the Rising Tide at all. We know that they're a very, very good team. But in terms of ranking these 5 teams, we had really no choice but to count all of the matches that every team played, even though teams played a different number of matches because of everything going on in the world. So the Rising Tide seeded 5th, 3-2 with 9 points. They played only the VLA Cup, so that's kind of where they are, why they are where they are. Team Pineapple seeded 4th, 5-2 with 13 points. That includes the first event of the regular season back in January in Fort Wayne and the VLA Cup. That's all Team Pineapple has done this season so far. The Phoenix Ascension seeded 3rd. They are 5 wins, 6 losses, and 16 points. They played back in Phoenix in February. They played in the VLA Cup, and they played in Nebraska 2 weeks ago. So they've played 11 matches, which is almost as many as anyone in the league, which is why they're seeded where they are. LVC, 6-5, seeded 2nd at 6-5 with 19 points. They played also in Fort Wayne back in January. They played in Buffalo in April, and they played at VLA Cup. And then the number one seed going in is the reigning champion from last year, the kickoff classic event back in July of 2020, the Chicago Icemen, at 8-4 with 23 points. And Chicago played in Buffalo, they played VLA Cup, and they played in Nebraska 2 weeks ago. So those are the seeds going into this simple, straight-up double elimination tournament. And now to talk about kind of how the schedule is going to break down a little bit. So the 4 seed Team Pineapple will match up with the 5 seed the Rising Tide. That will be the first match of the weekend, starting off Tuesday, June 22nd. And all these match times are Eastern, by the way. That's 2:30 p.m. Eastern. So you'll notice that Tuesday and Wednesday matches are in the afternoon, which is awesome. Go check out the website, by the way, for a lot more info on all this. But Pineapple versus Rising Tide is a matchup I'm really excited about because we haven't seen it yet this year. The Rising Tide having only played at VLA Cup, and they did not see Team Pineapple in that tournament. So really excited about that matchup. 4 versus 5. The winner of that will play the Chicago Icemen. So the Icemen, the one seed, get a bye into the, I guess it would be winner's side semifinals if we're looking at the full double elimination bracket. So the first match, Pineapple versus Rising Tide at 2:30 on Tuesday. The second match will be the 2-seed Team LVC against the 3-seed Phoenix Ascension at 5:30 on Tuesday. Another exciting matchup because we haven't seen that particular battle yet this year. And then at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday will be the Icemen against the winner of that play-in match, like I mentioned. So regardless, all 3 of the matches we're going to get on day 1 will be brand new matchups this year, which I'm really excited about. The Icemen have not played Pineapple or Rising Tide yet this year, and regardless of who they get, that match is going to be very, very spicy. So 3 matches on day 1 on Tuesday, the first one being at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, so kind of an afternoon slot of matches on both Tuesday and Wednesday. So moving on to Wednesday, we'll get the losers of those of that play-in game. So the loser of Pineapple versus Rising Tide against the loser of Team LVC and Ascension. And that at 2:30, the first match at 2:30 on Wednesday, is an elimination game. So there will be one team that finishes 5th in this tournament, only plays 2 matches, and whoever loses both of them, they're done. That's it. So that's the kind of cutthroat double elimination format we're going with this week. So that first match on Wednesday is going to be really interesting because the teams are fighting for their tournament lives, fighting for the bare minimum number of matches played, and the loser of that match finishes last place in the bracket. So really good one coming up there. The match at 5:30 will be winner's bracket finals, which is equally spicy because that's the winner of LVC and Ascension versus the winner of Icemen and the play-in game between Rising Tide and Team Pineapple. So the winner of that one goes straight to the championship match, which is at noon on Thursday. So straight to the championship match, and a huge part about the championship match, which I guess I'll talk about in a second, There is a big advantage to being in the championship match from the winner's side of the bracket, for sure. And then the last match on Wednesday will be another elimination game in the loser's side of the bracket. It'll be the winner of that earlier match on Wednesday against the loser of the bracket finals match that I just talked about. So let me make sure that's right. No, actually, the loser won of the play-in games from the previous day. So you can see all of this on the website to see exactly how the bracket shakes out, but it's a standard double elimination format. So only three teams will make it to Thursday, championship day, Thursday, June 24th. That first match in the morning on Thursday will be at 9 a.m. Eastern. That will be loser's finals. So loser's bracket finals. The winner of that will go to the championship match. The loser will be out in third place. And then the championship match, mark your calendars for this, ladies and gentlemen, is Thursday, June 24th at noon Eastern. That is the match that will decide the 2021 VLA champion. And like I was mentioning, the advantage from coming from the winner's side is that even if the team that comes to the championship match from the winner's side loses the match, they still get a chance because we're going to play a little golden set. So you may be familiar with this if you've played at USAV Adult Nationals. They run their brackets in a similar style where the in order for the loser's bracket team in the championship match to win the tournament, they have to win a match and then win a golden set. So and the CEV Champions League does something very similar, which is it's awesome. If we get to a golden set, it'll be the most electric volleyball played all weekend. So yeah, the team that comes in from the winner's side has a huge advantage because even if they lose the match, they still have a chance to win a golden set, and I'm pretty sure we're playing it only to 15, that tiebreaker. So that is awesome. Very excited about that. Noon Eastern on Thursday, June 24th again. That's a huge one. We want to maximize all possible viewership for that match. It'll be live on YouTube, as always. It'll be easy to find. You'll know exactly where to find it by that point. It'll be really interactive with the YouTube chat and all, you know, all the normal things you expect from incredible VLA volleyball. But what we're a big emphasis of this event, something we're really excited about, is the fact that we are going to be in and amongst thousands and thousands and thousands of volleyball players, coaches, parents, staff running the event, sponsors, vendors, whatever. There will be tens of thousands of people in that convention center in Orlando with volleyball already on their minds. And a huge focus for us producing the matches is going to be focused on what's happening live on the court. So I'm really excited to build the atmosphere around the feature court for the VLA Championships, because these junior players, boys and girls alike, 18 all the way down to 13 or 12 or whatever the youngest group is, are going to see a level of volleyball that they've almost definitely never seen before. So many people in the U.S. have never seen men's volleyball at all. And even those that have haven't seen it at the professional level, stateside, unless you've gone and seen the national team play when they've, you know, periodically shown up throughout the country. So a very special opportunity for us is to grab these young potential fans that are just already there. They're just going to walk by our court, see these 6'9" dudes bouncing the ball and like hitting serves at 75 miles an hour, and they're going to be hooked right away. And we've talked about this on the show, on this show and around the VLA all the time, so many times, is that as good as volleyball can possibly be on a broadcast and as fun of a spectator sport as it is in that way, it doesn't compare to watching it in real life. So we're really excited about the fact that we're going to have a legitimate fan presence there. It's going to be so cool. It's going to be really interactive. Going to get all the junior players, families, whatever, really engaged with the players before and after matches. It's going to be really accessible, really fun, really open to everyone, and we're expecting the vibe around that court to be awesome. So I'm really excited to see how that transfers over to the online broadcasts, because it'll be a little bit of a different look for us this year playing in front of a couple hundred, possibly thousands of fans. Just because that hasn't been possible in the last year and a half or so. So really excited about that. And that will, I'll tell you right now, will be a big focus of ours from a league perspective on is maximizing the level of production and what the experience we can give to people watching on the court in real life. And that'll definitely transfer over to the broadcast as well. Don't worry. But we're really excited about that extra injection of energy into these matches that are already going to have so much on the line because of this double elimination format. Every match matters so much, and every team is really fighting for their lives for every point if they're trying to win this tournament. So let's check out who we can expect to see on these teams, because there will be a lot of familiar faces for those of you who have been following along all season long, guys you've expected to see now at VLA Cup and regular season events throughout the year, but a couple new faces as well. So let's start off with the Rising Tide, seeded fifth. You'll get Chris Kahns, the setter out of Long Beach City College, who saw at VLA Cup and was very, very good, but no Rob Mullahy. So I think Chris Kahns is the only setter on the true setter on the roster. He'll have pretty much the keys to the Rising Tide offense throughout the match, and he's very capable. I love his game. Middles, Matt August, not in attendance. He is already in the Czech Republic. Chris Johnson, not in attendance yet. Was playing through an ankle injury back in Indiana at VLA Cup that's bothering him quite a bit, so he won't be around. But Jacob Schmiegel will. You saw him a lot at VLA Cup, and a recent pickup for the Rising Tide, Wyatt Dimke, a middle blocker who just graduated from McKendree in the MIVA. McKendree, who's pretty heavily featured on a lot of these VLA rosters. Dimke, about 6'8", a really high-flying, good athlete out of Minnesota, so excited to get him picked up by the Rising Tide. That'll be a cool one. Raymond Barsimian will be there. He was featured on Around the VLA a couple weeks ago, and he mentioned on the show when Vince and I talked to him that he can actually play both pins. You might have noticed how comfortable he was in rotation one during VLA Cup, and it turns out that he's actually played some left side before in his career, so there's a chance that the Rising Tide will call upon him to do that, because they'll also have Raelia Speller, who was really good as well at the opposite for the Rising Tide during VLA Cup. So Barsimian can maybe play both pins. You've got Aaron Kuby, the Frenchman out of UC Irvine, coming back in, who was all-tournament team at VLA Cup. He was really good. And Dylan Auxier, I'll get the pronunciation on that nailed down, but a former All-American outside hitter at Concordia University Irvine coming in for the Rising Tide. So that's kind of their pin hitter group: Barsimian, Speller, Auxier, Kuby. The four of them will fill the three starting pin positions with no problem at all. And then another interesting pickup for the Rising Tide, a libero, Jordan Molina out of Long Beach State, is an absolute baller. Was the starter on those two national championship teams that Long Beach State had, those two natties that they won in 2018 and 19. So a big additional factor of the incredible libero play that I've praised so much at the VLA, VLA Cup, and season throughout. We have some unbelievable liberos playing in this league, and Jordan Molina just the latest to be added to one of these rosters. So the Rising Tide, like I said, seeded fifth, but that really doesn't reflect how good of a team this is. You saw what they did at VLA Cup. They made it to the finals. They beat pretty much everyone in their way up to that point before losing to Ruckus, but their Southern California rivals, not at this tournament because Ruckus not playing in Tier 1 this year. So the Rising Tide, if they can win that play-in match first thing in the morning against Team, or not the morning, but first thing Tuesday against Team Pineapple, they will be a very serious championship threat right away. But that play-in match is just one additional obstacle for the Rising Tide to overcome. So really interested to see what this team can bring. The Southern California and just California in general style of volleyball clearly dominated at VLA Cup, with three of the four semifinal teams being from the state of California. So really stoked about the Rising Tide. That's a little bit of what you can expect out of them. And their opponents in that first match will be Team Pineapple. And Team Pineapple, if you have followed that team throughout the last decade or so, you know that whenever there's a championship on the line, Loy Ball and company are going to pull out all the stops. They were the New England Patriots of volleyball in the 2010s decade. And like we've talked about so many times, they're in a turnover period in age. So Loy Ball is on this roster. I know he's already there in Orlando as I record this. I don't know how much you can expect to see him suit up. You better believe he will when called upon, just like he did at VLA Cup. But the general starting setter for Team Pineapple throughout the weekend will not be Pasquale Fiducia, as we've become accustomed to. Instead, it'll be Jake Romano, a setter out of Ball State who just recently graduated. 6'5", really good size, really good athlete, and a kid that really grew up around Team Pineapple going to college in the state of Indiana. It totally makes sense for Pineapple to pick up Jake Romano in replacement of Fiducia, who can't make this particular tournament. So that's a really cool pickup for Team Pineapple. Another one is Dalen and Stennis, who played mostly opposite at Lewis University, not this year, but the couple years before, as Lewis was really starting to rise to dominate the MIVA. He is the only, I think, natural opposite on this pineapple roster. So you expect to see him on the right pin a lot this weekend. Instead, it's a really good player, really explosive. And then making his VLA debut at last, Tomas Goldsmith, a guy out of Milwaukee who's been playing for Team Pineapple for a couple years now, had a very good overseas season in Denmark this year, finally able to make one of these VLA events for Team Pineapple. So that's a huge one. Tomas, not a big dude at about 6'3", but jumps out of the gym, really contacts the ball high, and might have the most dangerous serve in this entire tournament. So Tomas, a big pickup for Team Pineapple, and he'll be across from Evan Gebert at the other outside, who we've seen a lot the last year or two after he finished at McKendree. He was excellent at VLA Cup and a very, very big part of Team Pineapple's future. So nice youth, springy, explosive firepower on the pins and at the center position for Team Pineapple. And as usual, they just have this rotating cast of unbelievable middles. Connor O'Ryan, 6'6", Kevin Owens, 6'9", Matt Harpenau, 6'9", and Brendan Schmidt, 6'10", out of McKendree as well. Big middles. Probably the best top-to-bottom core of middles in this tournament. So big size factor there for Team Pineapple. They're going to use that advantage a lot. You know that Loy Ball will, if whether he's setting or not, he's going to want his team's offense to operate out of the middle as much as possible. And then speaking of stellar liberos, Luis Bertrand, who was unbelievable at VLA Cup, is making the trip to this tournament. So this Team Pineapple team is championship ready. No joke. Loy has constructed this roster to come in with him and with the legendary Lauren Gebert on the bench to kind of oversee the game flow and make some choices and move some things around. Just that veteran presence, so that those guys have won everything there is to win in the game, really, including Olympic gold in Loy's case. This Team Pineapple team is a legitimate championship contender. Really, all these teams are. I have absolutely no idea how this tournament is going to go. I can't pick a favorite, which is why it's so fun for me going into it just to do this preview and kind of break it down. But this Team Pineapple roster is so legit. They really only have about those three options at the three pins, though. So that's going to be really interesting. You're probably going to see Gebert and Goldsmith on the left and Instenis on the right for most of the tournament. I see Ivan Matos on the roster. Ivan is the man. Love that guy at IPFW, but hasn't been playing nearly as much lately. Instead, he's been coaching. So he can come in and pass some balls when called upon, for sure. Maybe we'll see him at Libero, but I do expect to see those three pins pretty much the whole tournament for Team Pineapple, and they're young guys. They can definitely handle it. So the winner of that will play the Chicago Icemen, like I said, but let's get to the other play-in game, or the first round of the winner's side bracket. First, that's Ascension versus Team LVC, and the Phoenix Ascension, seeded third, have had a very interesting year. They've had a ton of wacky personnel movement. If you watched all the way back in Phoenix, you saw how impressive the Phoenix Ascension is when they really have all their pieces there. They went 4-0 that weekend playing at home. They beat a very good Ruckus team twice. They played, just based on the eye test, some really complete, scrappy, energetic, high-level volleyball. And pretty much all the pieces that they need are going to be here for them this time. So Brian Lewis will be there and healthy. Zach Melcher setting. Connor Doherty in the middle, Vince, my guy, at any position he needs to be. But then the really interesting part is, like we've talked about a little bit through surrounding VLA Cup, Ascension has this group of guys that many of whom live in Arizona, have been playing for Ascension, formerly Arizona Sizzle, in competitions like the VLA, but then will play local tournaments for Ruckus in Southern California. And the VLA Cup was the first time those two teams had ever really been at the same tournament together before. So the likes of Joe Kaliakamoa, CJ Suarez, Serge Nadazdin, Mark Olson, and Taylor Harrington, who all played for Ruckus at VLA Cup, are all playing for the Ascension in this tournament. So that's huge. Ascension has really built their team this year around those guys, and it's been since Phoenix in February that they've actually had them for one reason or another. So going into next season, that'll be a really interesting thing to follow, is where are those guys going to go. But for this tournament, they're suiting up for the Ascension. Kaliakamoa, the MVP of the VLA Cup at the setter position, will be going back to the outside here in this tournament for Phoenix. That's his role on this team. They've got Zach Melcher setting. They've got Vince Anzuki, who can come in and dish on command. But Joe Kay and Serge Nadazdin, both unbelievable outside hitters, the only two true outsides on this roster this weekend. So that's what you can expect to see. And I remember that Ascension performance from February when they beat Rutgers 3-0 on day two of that event. And I saw that and was like, this team can beat absolutely anybody they come up against. With those pieces that they have, when everybody's there, this team is really, really dangerous. So that's kind of the deal with the Phoenix Ascension this tournament. They are licking their chops, I know, because they've been waiting to get all the guys back together all the way since February, and there could be a championship run in it for them at the end. So really excited about that. Their opponent in the first round of winner's side will be Team LVC, another perennial championship contender. They lost to Chicago in the finals of the Kickoff Classic last year. They were the only team to win their pool that didn't make it to Sunday of VLA Cups because they lost to Chicago again in that rivalry that's been pretty one-sided lately. But LVC and Ascension is a matchup that we haven't seen yet this year, and LVC dominated Ascension last year in the summer tournament. So this particular Team LVC squad will have a lot of familiar faces. They're constructed exactly like a standard Team LVC group, with just more incredible middles than they know what to do with. So you're going to get Amir Lugo Rodriguez, who's amazing. He coaches at Northwestern, so he'll be down doing some recruiting, and he's going to suit it up as well while he's down there. Mike Marshman, one of the very best middles in the league. Lance Rogers, AJ Witkowski, and John Keller, all middle options for this particular edition of Team LVC. No Jordan Verree, though, at the opposite. So you'll see either their captain, Chris Hosley, or Keller, perhaps, who I've seen play opposite before and is a baller, will be banging balls on the right side. So that'll be interesting to follow for Team LVC, is what they do with their opposite position. Andrew Sato is coming to this tournament. He is playing libero for them. He was, by far, the most important piece that LVC added at VLA Cup, in my opinion. They really needed a natural libero. It's not just like a converted outside to come in and really stabilize that position, get a bunch of defensive touches and pass nails. Sato did exactly that, and he is coming to this tournament, which I'm very excited about, as is Greg Petty, who is another massive pickup for LVC back in May at the VLA Cup. So Petty and his just all-around complete, super polished professional game will be heavily featured on the outside for Team LVC. And also making, not his VLA debut, because he absolutely balled out at the Kickoff Classic last summer, but the first time we've seen him since then is Joe Norton, a George Mason guy who's currently the assistant coach there at his alma mater, a really good, quick ball hitting, good ball controlling outside hitter. That, like, him and Petty as an outside duo is pretty nasty for Team LVC. Also, they've picked up Quentin Moore, who I love. He played for Legion Black, LVC's second team at VLA Cup. He can play both pins, so you can see him in the opposite as well. He was part of that LVC's, like, that Legion Black team that made a crazy run through that tournament and, like, really surprised a lot of people, myself included. So, Q, I'm really excited to see down there, just to add some depth to both pins for Team LVC. And then the setting position is an interesting one. No Christian Smith this tournament. You've seen him in pretty much every LVC match so far this year, but this time it's going to be Aaron Alloway, who is a really interesting dude, about 5'10", lefty, Virginia guy, but went to Long Beach State. He's as silky smooth, perfect hands of a setter as you're going to see anywhere, and he can get up and be really physical in an unexpected way in the front row, making a lot of plays. And also you get Eric Martin, the legend, the like 48-year-old or however old he is these days. So a 6'2 is a very real option for Team LVC. We've seen them use that a lot. They used it a lot at VLA Cup. They'll just bring in that second setter, second opposite for three rotations. They really get a lot of mileage out of that. And Alloway, as good as physical as he is in the front row, he's still 5'10". So we'll see how Coach CJ Denk chooses to manage that little wrinkle in LVC's lineup this time around. But again, I don't see any weaknesses there. I see no weaknesses in this LVC squad. They've got incredible outside options with Petty and Norton and more. They've got a bunch of middles. They've got a very good setter. They've got an all-world libero. And I guess opposite's kind of the only question mark. Like, really just who are we going to see, and how are they going to be able to produce out of system in a way that LVC is used to Jordan Verree usually doing. So this LVC team, that LVC Phoenix matchup on day one is going to be an absolute barn burner. That either one of those teams could legitimately win this tournament, and because the winner of that will go straight to winner's side finals on Wednesday, that match is going to be really important and really high level. So yeah, that's another one to mark your calendars for. And last but not least, the one seed overall. The defending champions from last year, the clear winner of the regular season so far at 8-4, the Chicago Icemen. They at Viola Cup, they had a roller coaster of a tournament. They were awful on day one, just so bad, before completely turning it around on day two and just steamrolling everybody on their way to the semifinals. They completely turned it around. Will Kraft was a huge part of that. He'll be here. But some other kind of new pieces from the various events that Chicago has played throughout this season. Dave Hancock, a former collegiate teammate of mine at Purdue, will be the most featured middle blocker for Chicago. He played a bit of opposite a couple weekends ago in Nebraska. And then Mike Boduc out of Loyola University Chicago, making his VLA debut in the middle for Chicago. Tim Faulkner, the only setter on the roster, so no Sunil Thomas, which is a little bit of a loss given how well Sunil played at VLA Cup, but you know Tim Faulkner has taken this team the distance before. He set that team to the championship last summer. He gives nothing up in any area. Colin Merck, the libero, is an absolute monster, but he is dealing with a little like thumb sprain issue, so his ability to use his hands is going to be limited. But if you ask anybody who's played with him before, that's not going to hurt him all that much. And then the pins for Chicago are kind of interesting. Kraft, like I mentioned, out of Carthage is a huge one. He is just so dynamic on that left side. He and Mike Mikolaou played out of their minds at VLA Cup, but no Mikolaou this tournament. So the other outside hitter will likely be Chandler North, a Milwaukee guy out of Marquette who's making his VLA debut. Teammates with Tomas Goldsmith in Denmark this past season, which is really cool. Chandler, a guy who's played really all three hitting positions. I played against him a lot in college and college club at Marquette. The dude has no weaknesses in his game, and especially when he made the jump overseas this year, settling in at the outside hitter position, really controlling the ball well, hitting the ball high, deep, hard with great range and great vision. So really fun duo of outsides for Chicago that you can expect to see in North and Kraft. And then Tyler Wills is the other main pin option for Chicago, the head coach on the men's team at Marion University in Wisconsin. You saw him in Buffalo where he was excellent at the outside spot, but it's looking like he's actually going to be on the right side this weekend for Chicago, or not weekend, but next week for Chicago. I think Wills is going to be banging balls on the right in the opposite position, which is kind of a cool little versatile tool to have over there, because we've seen Tyler able to control the ball so well. And anybody who's played grass in the Midwest, like in the grass scene that's very active right about now, knows that if you are matched up against Tyler Wills in a grass tournament, you better say goodnight. The dude's just going to beat you. Again, no weaknesses. Has such a good arm, has such good range, sees the ball so well, sees the block, sees the court, and at about 6'6", gives nothing up in block as well. So that pin trio, although lacking like the firepower of a really traditional opposite, I actually really like the way the Chicago team is constructed. And then they get Trevor Weisskircher as well out of Lewis, who can back up both pins. So I really like the way the Chicago team's built. I would not be at all surprised if they repeated as a champion here, really. And the bye that they get on day one is absolutely huge. That will help them so much. They have a chance, just by the way that their schedule works out, because they've earned it playing so well this season, to only play one match per day. If they win Tuesday, they only play one on Wednesday, and if they win that one, they only play one on Thursday. So that's really big. And these rosters, as fun as they are to break down, none of them are all that deep. This is a weird tournament. It's in the middle of the week. It's been put together. It's difficult to get everyone to Orlando, so the team's not able to bring all of their 10, 12, 14 or so guys that we saw at VLA Cup. They're running a little bit thinner this week, so conditioning and, you know, the exhaustion that you feel playing volleyball at this level is gonna be an issue. That's gonna be a serious thing to follow about a lot of these teams, is how well can their starting lineups stay in shape, stay in top form, stay fresh, stay explosive, you know, the whole thing that we talk about these volleyball tournaments all the time, like who's going to be playing their best, freshest, realest volleyball on Championship Thursday, is going to be a very interesting to follow. And the way that this bracket shakes out and the matchups are so, so fascinating. I just don't know how to pick it. I'm just so excited about this. Like, the Pineapple Rising Tide match could go completely either way. Those teams have no data on one another. They haven't seen each other ever in VLA competition. And they play completely different styles of volleyball. So that's going to be really fun. LVC and Ascension don't have any data on one another this year. They got to go all the way back to last year with very different pieces. So that's going to be a great matchup too, as you see teams make adjustments and figure out their strengths and blocking matchups and serving targets and all this stuff that we just love to break down about high-level volleyball. Every bit of it is going to be on display in this tournament. And again, I already talked about the format. The double elimination makes the stakes so much higher in every match. Two losses, you're done. Your season's over. That's it. So every one of these teams coming in has an equal chance of walking out of here with the championship. They also have an equal chance of walking out of here 0-2 in fifth place. And like I said, just looking at the rosters, I have absolutely no way of picking a favorite. I have no idea. It could completely be any of these five teams. It is so wide open. It is more wide open than any particular VLA event that I've been at so far in the league's history. I really believe that. It has that kind of potential for some incredible storylines and some unbelievable volleyball to come out of this thing. And just the fact that we're going to have fans there and have just so many people surrounding the court is going to make it that much more fun. So if that doesn't hype you up enough, you need to start paying attention. This event is going to be incredible. It really, for the season that we've had, as many obstacles as we've had to overcome to just produce these events, this is going to be a really appropriate and satisfying way to cap it off. Put our great product in front of thousands of people that are already there, stream it online to the best of our ability like you guys are used to seeing, and just put five great teams to battle it out with one of them winning a season-long championship. Like, what more can you ask for? It's like playoff season throughout sports right now. You got the Stanley Cup playoffs in hockey. You got the NBA playoffs. Baseball's in full swing. I watched a lot of golf today, championship season in that. There's so much going on sports-wise. This is just the latest incredible race for a championship that we're really excited to produce and put in front of you all. So that's about it. That's a pretty good preview for this event. Check out the website for match times. Like I already said all of them, but Tuesday, June 22nd, first match at 2:30 Eastern, and then running pretty consistently throughout those 3 days. So check it all out on the website. Tune in on the YouTube channel. You know where to find it by now. All matches streaming live for free for everyone. Share it with any volleyball people that you know, any volleyball fans. And we are going to try, based on schedules and timing, to get you a preview episode of Around the VLA live from the event. So we're thinking we might be able to fit some time in Tuesday morning, depending on when Vince's team plays. Vince is coaching a juniors team at AAU. So if he gets a couple matches off, then we'll hop on the mic for a little bit for a little special episode of Around the VLA live on Tuesday morning. So be on the lookout on our Instagram and on YouTube for that. But other than that, we'll see you guys live in the matches on Tuesday afternoon. I'm so stoked. Tune in, follow us everywhere online, and we'll see you guys on Tuesday. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.